Herzlich willkommen zum Farmcast.
Folge 94, Intel Fieber 2.
So, herzlich willkommen. Nach 2 Wochen sind wir wieder zurück. In dieser Folge erzählt uns Jessica vom Biohof Camp-Pierre Moussa auf Ibiza und stellt uns Ronny vor, der die Geschichte der schwarzen Vormeterschweine erzählen wird. Wahrscheinlich, denke ich.
Thorsten ist gerade top motiviert, weil wir haben hier nicht seit 2 Wochen wieder Farmcast, sondern ungefähr seit 5 Minuten das zweite Mal Farmcast, weil leider bei der ersten Aufnahme irgendwas schiefgegangen ist.
Ja.
Aber gut, sowas passiert.
Ärgerlich.
Ja. So, nachdem wir jetzt das zweite Mal machen, erzählt doch mal von euren letzten 2 Wochen. Jessica, fang du doch mal am besten an.
Ja, sehr gerne. Genau, ich bin ja noch mitten im Praktikum. Ich bin momentan bei der Firma Semex Deutschland in Verden und das gefällt mir richtig gut. Ich habe super viel zu tun, bin jetzt ab morgen auf meiner zweiten Messe, und zwar Fanorla, die ich auch schon so schön beworben habe. Wie gesagt, Autogramme gibt es umsonst, Fotos kosten extra. Nee, das macht tatsächlich echt super viel Spaß. Ich lerne mega viel, lerne super viele Landwirte kennen. Man kann sich echt prima austauschen. Es ist auch echt ein klasse Team. Und ich bin echt richtig happy, dass ich da gelandet bin und habe wahrscheinlich gerade 100 Schleimpunkte bei meinem Chef kassiert.
Echt?
Ja, wohl wahrscheinlich. Also Martin, wenn du das hörst, Daumen hoch.
Klingt doch schon mal gut.
Ja.
Peter, war es bei dir auch so toll wie bei Jessica?
Ja, wir haben jetzt Sommer und wir, ja, eigentlich in den letzten 2 Wochen ist nicht so viel jetzt passiert draußen. Aber zum Thema Biogas kann ich noch mal was erzählen. Ich habe da ja im Frühjahr und im Winter schon relativ viel davon erzählt, wie wir die Umbaumaßnahmen bzw. die Erweiterungsmaßnahme hatten. Da haben wir auch vor allem in der Folge 69 Bioflex auch drüber gesprochen, was wir da machen, was wir da vorhaben, eben die Biogasanlage zu flexibilisieren bzw. flexibel Strom zu produzieren. Das heißt, zu Zeiten mehr Strom einzuspeisen, wo auch mehr Strom gebraucht wird, und zu Zeiten, wo weniger Strom gebraucht wird im Stromnetz, speisen wir eben weniger Strom ein. Aber das hört ihr am besten in der Folge 69 nochmal euch an. Und momentan, ja, sind wir gerade dabei, diese Qualifikation dafür zu machen. Da geht es eigentlich einfach darum, dass unsere Biogasanlage eben dazu fähig ist, dass die Technik eben das kann, dass wir praktisch mehr Leistung bereitstellen können zu Zeiten, wo es gebraucht wird, und eben zu Zeiten, wo nicht so viel gebraucht wird, dass wir da eben auch runterfahren. Und da muss man eben so einen ganz bestimmten Fahrplan fahren, den bekommt man von seinem Stromvermarkter vorgegeben. Der macht das eigentlich so, der sagt einfach, okay, an der Strombörse wird zu den und den Zeiten viel Strom gebraucht und zu den und den Zeiten wird wenig Strom gebraucht, und dann gibt ihm einfach einen Fahrplan. Das heißt, wo viel Strom gebraucht wird, soll ich auch viel Strom liefern. Wo wenig Strom gebraucht wird, soll ich wenig Strom liefern. Und da muss ich eben dementsprechend meine Motoren dann danach einstellen und auf die Leistung an- und ausschalten. Ja, und das mache ich eben momentan. Und das dauert jetzt ja diese Woche 3 Tage, habe ich jetzt dafür in Anspruch genommen. Hat zum Glück alles geklappt, kam nichts dazwischen. Und ich hoffe, dass das dann auch das Gutachten und so weiter auch alles dann soweit passt. Ja, so weit ist das von meiner Seite eigentlich mal.
Ja, cool. Das heißt, du musst jetzt dafür sorgen, dass die abgenommen wird, damit du ans Netz gehen kannst.
Ja, genau. Im Netz bin ich ja schon. Aber damit ich eben flexibel ans Netz gehen kann, genau, richtig.
Ach so, okay.
Ja, cool. Dass ich halt, ja, auch dann den Börsenpreis, weil ich bekomme ja auch einen besseren Erlös dafür, wenn ich jetzt, wie ich gerade schon gesagt habe, natürlich ist in Deutschland, gibt es eine Strombörse, und der Börsenpreis ist natürlich hoch, wenn viel Strom gebraucht wird, und wenn wenig Strom gebraucht wird, ist der Preis niedriger. Und dadurch, dass die Biogasanlage eigentlich eine der wenigen erneuerbaren Energien ist, die flexibel fahren kann, ohne Leistungsverlust zu haben, wie bei Wind oder bei Sonne, da müsste man ja abschalten oder aus dem Wind drehen. Und wir können eigentlich immer kontinuierlich produzieren, wir können aber den Strom halt zu anderen Zeiten liefern, wenn eben der Strompreis besser ist, das heißt, wenn mehr gebraucht wird.
Ah ja. Wollen wir dann gleich ins Thema starten?
Aber sicher doch.
Dann, Jessica, klär uns doch mal auf, was du da so erlebt hast. Auf der Insel
genau.
Ibiza.
Genau. Sangria satt. Nein, genau, ich habe in dieser wunderschönen Folge ein Interview für euch hier mitgebracht. Und zwar von dem Ronnie Anderson. Zum Ronnie bin ich durch die sehr, sehr nette Gabrielle von der Ibiza Recreation Foundation gelangt, die mir eines Tages da halt, als ich noch da war und ein bisschen mit ihrem Kontakt stand, vorgeschlagen habe, dass wir da einfach mal hinfahren. Sie sagt, das ist interessant, das wird dich bestimmt interessieren. Ich wusste überhaupt nicht, wo wir hinfahren. Ich habe auch fast die Farm nicht gefunden, weil die wirklich versteckt war. Okay. Und ja, war super. Und dann, genau, dann habe ich ja den Ronnie kennengelernt, lustiger Geselle. Man denkt überhaupt nicht, dass der da irgendwie, aber auch nur irgendwas mit Landwirtschaft zu tun hat. Ja, wie gesagt, man muss sich den so vorstellen, bisschen älterer Herr, lange, wuschelige, graue Haare, läuft da rum mit seinem Hemd, seiner Rolex, seinen Stiefeln und seiner beigen Leinenhose. Aber der hatte wirklich eine spannende Geschichte mit im Gepäck. Und hat mir letztendlich von sich erzählt, er war halt eigentlich ehemals Journalist für eine Zeitschrift, die sich The Economist nennt, hat zwar auch landwirtschaftlichen Hintergrund, aber seine Intention war nicht, nach Ibiza zu gehen und dort eine Schweinefarm zu eröffnen, sondern eher das komplette Gegenteil. Und ja, durch so einen glücklichen, unglücklichen Zufall ist er da mehr oder weniger rangelangt. Und seitdem aber auch super glücklich und hat letztendlich das geschafft, das schwarze Formentera-Schwein wieder nach Ibiza zurückzubringen und das ein bisschen publik zu machen. Da hat auch die Hilfe von einer Universität in Cordoba bekommen und ja, setzt sich quasi für den Arterhalt dort auch fleißig ein. Er sagt halt, dass die Rasse sehr ja, nicht kompliziert zu züchten ist, aber ich sage mal so, wenn man das Schwarz-Ibiza-Schwein züchtet, ist das keine Profitsache, sondern eher so eine Art Herzensangelegenheit, weil die halt sehr langsam wachsen und reifen und jetzt so für die Masse nicht geeignet sind, da die halt auch eine spezielle Diät haben. Aber ihm war es halt wichtig, weil er meinte, dass die halt auch die letzten 50 Jahre stark zurückgegangen sind, was er halt sehr schade findet und das halt auch so ein bisschen seine Überzeugung ist. Und ja, seitdem macht er das und ja, das Interview spricht eigentlich für sich. Es ist halt leider in Englisch. Ich hoffe trotzdem, dass unsere ganzen Zuhörer vielleicht dann doch ein bisschen was draus mitnehmen können. Und ja, ich würde sagen, wir spielen es einfach mal ab.
My name is Ronnie. I took on this farm, which was derelict, about 11, 12 years ago. And the reason there is no clear reason why I did it. I come from a farming background in Ireland, and I came here as a writer for a magazine, which you could, with the internet, you could
Google it.
Right. And then one night, there's a little dog, it's about here, a little black dog. Someone found her and asked, do you want this little dog? And we took the little dog, but she was always wandering off, because I used to live up literally half a kilometer away. And one night, she was clearly in season, disappeared. I'm allowed to walk or to look for her. And on when you drive out of here, you'll see there she is. She's the cause of it all. You'll see a big rock, and that big rock leads to Nicky Leiter's house. Sadly, he's now dead, but his ex, Marlena, she lives there still. But on this rock was this very old man, and she was on his lap. And I thought, shit, because my Spanish was terrible. And I thought, God, what am I going to do? So I sort of walked towards him, and I said, pardon, you know? And he started speaking English.
Oh.
And I went, bloody hell. And it turns out he was educated here on Ibiza by Irish missionaries, Jesuits. He went to a Jesuit school here. So he learned English at a very early age. So anyway, I got talking to him and he said he had a dog exactly like Kitty, that they were a special type of dog. They were bred to kill rats because there was a huge rat infestation on the island in the late 40s. And they bred these dogs specially for it. And she was one of the last remaining of that breed. So we talked and talked for a bit. And then I said to him, I said, forgive me for asking, what are you doing here? He said, oh, I'm waiting for my daughter. She's coming to pick me up. He said, that's my farm, pointing to here.
And I went, ah, that's interesting. I said, because I often walk past and I see it and I wondered. He said, come and see me. I said, well, he said, I'm here, I'm there every day, but better on a Saturday. I said, okay, I'll meet you at 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning, which I did. I'd been over to San Antonio, I came here, I was a bit late, and he was over there on a chair, fast asleep. And I thought, shit, what am I gonna do? So I sort of stood there for a moment, and he sort of woke up, and he said, looked at his watch, said, you're late. I went, yeah, I've been to San Antonio. He looked at me and he went, what was the weather like? And I went, what? I said, sort of like here, you know? He said, I've never been. And I went, you've never been to San Antonio? It's like 20 minutes away, you know? No reason, no family. And then he told me the story about this farm. And it was absolutely derelict. He was very, very old. And he asked me about my background and stuff. And he said, look, why don't you come and talk with my son, who's a lawyer in Santa Eulalia, and maybe you can take the farm? And I went, no, Pedro, I really don't want the farm. I really don't want it. You know, I have a big one in Ireland, and that's enough trouble. He went, no. He said, I've been watching. He said, I think it should be you. And so anyway, I relented, met his son, Juan Antonio, and he said, I don't know what to say for me, but that's what he's saying. He said. And he had one cow left, three rabbits, and a few hens. That was it. And I said, I don't know, Juan Antonio. I really have to think about it because it's a serious undertaking. And then Pedro said to me, I know what you can do. The black pig is very rare on this island. There's only 20 of them left. Why don't you do the black pigs? And then you can do the sheep because there's only 200 left. You know, the Abyssinian breeds. And I thought, that sounds interesting.
No.
And then I finally relented. And now I'm here.
How many years has it
God,
been?
God, 11, 12 years ago.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And it was completely derelict. We had to start from... Oh, the final story was that as I was iffy about the whole thing, he passed by the house and said, I need your help. I went, why? He said, the cow, the last cow, yeah, dead. And I went, I don't know. I said, that's awful. I said, what should we do, bury her? He went, we have to. Hmm. And of course, it was in the summer. It was hot.
Oh, dry.
Big. I thought, oh, shit, we're going to have to get Jesse B or something. There's no way you're going to dig a hole. So a neighbor one year, he had one of the big trucks with a scoop on it, and we took the car over to his fields over here next to Nicky Lauder, and it was like Pedro looking around going, there. And they went, no, there, that's where she used to lie with her calf, there. And we had to dig this hole. Then we had to choreograph the way we put her in. No, she wouldn't like that.
Oh, no.
Put her that way. It's like, oh, God. Sweat lashing on me in one hair and going, Jesus, just put it in the bloody hole. Then we sort of cover her over in one ear and ran over with the truck a few times to for dogs, you know, because they...
Yeah.
And Pedro and I walked back here and he said, it's now yours. And it's sort of weirdly meant to be.
Yeah.
And one of the... This used to be where the milk was pasteurized in this room here. We were actually sitting underneath the big cisterna. And one of the first nights I had the key, I was literally sitting on those steps out there with Kitty on my own thinking, God, this is too much. It's big. You know, so much to do. This guy, a Muslim guy, walked around the corner and I went, shit. He's like, Taliban or something? And he went, hi, you're Ronnie. And I went, yeah. He said, we are from the mosque. There's a mosque over here. Yeah, hundreds of years old.
Oh, wow.
A mosque. And he said, when I was a little boy, I used to help Pedro here on the farm. And we have come to welcome Jesus. And that was the start of it. I mean, the number of weird people that have turned up here who has some association along the line with this place. It's bizarre. And the other thing was, the place was full of chairs. And I said to Peter, I said, why are there so many chairs? And he went, so many friends.
Oh.
And they all would come here, all those old cronies, you know, and sit here.
Right.
And when I was starting to repair the farm, it was, no, not like that. Don't put the gate like that. It'll never work. Yeah, everything I'd done was, because I was doing it in the Northern European way, and they were, no, it'll never work, never work. I thought, shit. And then sadly, Pedro died. He got ill. His wife rang me up to tell me he was ill, Catalina, and I went to see him in Santa Lalia. He was upstairs in the bedroom, and he said to me, get me out of here. Just get me out. Say anything to get me out of here. I'm a prisoner. And I said, better I can't, you know? And a couple of days later, dead. Big, big funeral in Santa Lalia up on the hill. Okay. He was the guy, he used to play football for Barcelona. Can you imagine that? There's a street named after him in Santa Lalia. I didn't know any of this until he died.
He was really famous.
He was so, his funeral, I cannot tell you how many people were there. There were police everywhere just to, you know, guide people. And it turns out he was the one that got the sports facilities down here in Santa Lalia. So that was how it all began. And I thought, shit, I'll never get it. But people came. Amazing people just sort of turned up. And suddenly there was a little workforce. And then the first black pig arrived, a female, and then a macho. Then the university in Cordoba heard about it, their genetic department, the veterinary genetic department. And they said, we really want to help you here because we know how endangered this species is. And they were a terrific help. The government were a terrific help. And they just thought, who is this maverick idiot? You know, where everyone was getting out of farm. Here was someone coming into farming here on the island. And I don't think they took me very seriously for several years. I mean, they just thought some lunatic on drugs or something. It's a front for money laundering or cannabis growing. Something's going on there. And then they finally accepted the fact that you were genuinely trying to help give back to the community. And now we have thousands of children a year from the local schools come and visit. Yeah, the disabled kids and adults, the elderly from the homes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they all come. Today there's a little writing school going on. And then the final shock, because every time I walked into the concert, they would go, Ronnie, what is it now? And I, about a year ago, I walked in and went, alpaca. And I went, no, please, Ronnie, there is no alpaca on the island. We don't even have a farm for alpaca. I said, but they're on the mainland. You know, there's like 200 throughout Spain. He said, why do you want alpaca? And I said, well, when the dogs kill my sheep, I could never stop it.
Oh,
but I know if
dogs.
I've got alpaca, the dogs won't come near my sheep. They went, really? I said, look it up on the internet. They use them in Australia, America, South America.
Oh, so that's the reason.
And they said, okay. So I brought the three first alpaca to the island. And the kids love them, of course.
Yes.
Then I encouraged this other guy. You might know Bobby, a German-Swiss guy. He was quite a famous footballer, Bayern Munich. I persuaded him to buy two females from the same place on the mainland. So he now has the two females who are still a little bit young, but my boys will go over and visit and have fun. So that'll be about a month's time. But the gestation period is quite long. It's almost a year with alpaca because they're cameloid. And then the black pig program goes on. The sinking sheep go on. And there's always something happening because it's become a community center as much as a farm. There's always something community. We just opened a little restaurant 2 months ago, less than 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago. It's very popular now. Only on Saturday and Sunday. We just tick along. There's something about it. I mean, I nearly lost it 2 years ago. I got into bed with these Dutch people and they basically strung me out. and I had to recover. And it was only the likes of Christian who helped me through it, you know, who I'm talking about. I wouldn't be here now. There wouldn't be a farm without people like Christian. He seemed, in fact, his school, where he sends his little ones, something Mala, Talan Mala?
Mandala.
Mandala. They're moving to new premises. Okay. The premises aren't ready. Okay. So they're going to use the farm for the first 6-8 weeks. So they'll have cool parents. And to me, that was a sort of payback to him for helping me in the time of struggle. So that's about it.
Sounds like an adventure.
That boy there, he came from the schools because he was not a very good pupil, very disruptive. And the schools asked me if I would take him, and that was 5 years ago.
And he's still here. Wow.
There's a little boy here who you might have noticed. I haven't seen him for a while.
The guy who was feeding the horses, he was picking carrots for the horses?
Could have been. He's from the court because he was caught in possession of marijuana.
Oh.
The court fined him €1,000. His parents refused to pay. And the court said, okay, if you work it off at Camp Armisona, you don't have to pay. So he's been here for several weeks.
Yeah, we've been talking about how we can put people into farming, you know, to help the farmers and at the same time give people some experience.
Yeah, they've recognized farming can be very therapeutic on many levels, and or it can have the opposite effect, that people are resentful because it's quite, as you know, mundane in many respects. There's a routine. Can become incredibly boring after a while. You do the same thing every day with the problems in between.
Yeah.
And it's problem solving. But so far, the little boy who's come from the courts has asked the social services to ask me if when he's paid off the money, would I take him on full time?
Oh, wow.
But that's a big commitment because you get into a different tax, you get into a different... So I'm going to meet the social services, hopefully, by the end of this week. And if they give me some help...
That would be good.
Not a problem. But I can't keep doing it. Do you know what I mean? I've done them so many favors. And they've always been helpful, don't get me wrong. But there comes a point where you have to think of it financially.
Yeah.
But I know if I say no, he'll end up sitting in the house smoking dope and watching TV because he's unemployable to a lot of people, particularly this time of year, and particularly with his record. He'll have to wash that off over several years, so we shall see.
And in terms of the actual livestock,
pigs,
how does it work? Is there a market?
Yeah, because now we have our own restaurant, beforehand the meat used to go to Babylon Beach, but they never paid. They conveniently forgot to pay. And the stallions, quite often, occasionally, forgot to pay. And it's very hard if you've eaten the animal to say, what animal? But you had two lambs. So I thought, now with our own, we will just, we sell to some special customers, support the farm, but in essence, it'll go to the kitchen here.
You sell the whole animal?
No, we would, if it's a lamb, for example, we would quarter it for them, you know. So you can either have the shoulder, the leg.
And that you would do here?
We can do it here. We've got a license to do it here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So you got a proper butcher?
Yeah. Well, most really good chefs know how to butcher.
Yeah.
Really bad chefs don't.
No.
Because they've never had to do it. You know, it comes from the wholesaler pact.
Yeah.
But really good chefs always have their own butchery knives, and they know. So we have a really good chef here. He does it, but it's not very often. We don't kill that often because we don't have that many animals.
Oh, yeah.
But there's four lambs down there that are almost ready to go. So we'll kill them over a period of 3 months. Here they kill around 20,000.
Wow. How old do they get before you butcher them?
They're much slower than Northern European.
Yeah.
Because diet is different.
So
it would take for us to get them to 20 to 25K, it would take probably 5-6 months.
Okay.
Whereas in Northern Europe, that would almost be turning into mutton. That's getting mature. But here, because the process is different, the physiology of the sheep are different. Pigs are different. They're as normal with Northern Europe. There's a few that are pregnant at the moment. One of the black people is going to visit her boyfriend up the road here. And yesterday, this guy from New York and his family were visiting, and the daughter had a fixation with pigs.
Oh.
And he now has sponsored a pig.
Oh no!
That's nice.
The same pig that's going up the road to her boyfriend. So they're coming back on Saturday to have their final look at her before they go to New York. Back to you.
Are you going to have their name on the
pen? I don't know what to do. Apparently he's quite famous, but I have no idea what he does, because the person who introduced me to him said he's really, really famous. And he come in this big monster Jeep.
Oh, wow.
Land Rover thing. It was like one of those comedy shows. All these kids started getting out. I thought, when's this going to end? So I said to him, boy, you're fertile.
Oh, God.
Just stop. So anyway, 5 or 6 bloody children.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God. But this one was fixated with pigs. He says even her little slippers she wears in the house, she's got pigs in them.
Oh,
she's got
no.
Pig skirts. She's got, it's like,
piggies everywhere.
And of course, she fell in love with that young pig over there.
Okay.
And he said, I'll do the feeding right. I'll pay for the feeding. So that's another adventure. Never stops. And then we have amazing, again, it's just by fluke. We have a vet 200 meters from here who is fascinated with alpaca, because most of the vets in the island say, well, I don't know anything about them. I have no idea. I've seen them once when I was at university, and that was it. But this girl is now self-taught on alpaca. So anytime there's a little problem, I give her a call and she comes over with her little baby. It's the baby in a pram, looks after the alpaca.
That's amazing.
Weird, eh?
You're attracting the people.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Always someone different. And you never know who's going to walk around that corner, ever. It never fails to surprise me.
How exciting. But it sounds like it's meant to be.
Yeah, I try not to say that, but sometimes I think it. But just the number of people that have even passed through here, you know, people who have worked here for a little while and then moved on to something else. There's always a reason. I've come close to almost sacking people, but I've never sacked anyone. People have come and moved on, and that's the way it's always been. I mean, that guy who put his head in the door, Dimitri, he was sitting at Kangaroo one day, and I'd seen him there before a few times. And he sort of come over and went, hi, I'm Dimitri. And I went, hi, Ronnie. He said, yeah, I know about your farm. I went, oh, cool. He said, can I come and work at it? And I said, I don't know if I can afford you, you know. He said, no, at the beginning, I'd do it for nothing. I went, yeah, great. Start tomorrow. And that was 2 years ago. And now he does get money. Occasionally.
He can do it.
Okay.
But he just appeared from nowhere. Yeah, very strange.
I mean, you must be doing something, right?
I think it's the farm. It's not me, personally. I think they just think I'm a grumpy old shit that sits in the office
here.
Gives orders all day, you know? But I think that there's something magnetic about the farm.
Yeah.
And you can see it, particularly with disabled kids. There's something soothing.
Yeah.
Last week we had disabled riding people. The majority was Down syndrome. But to see them touching, stroking, washing the animals, you think, well, no medicine will fill that gap, because this is a one-off thing, you know. And they go to the little rabbits and the rabbits come back. Well, Ronnie never does this. And they just love it. You know.
But are the horses yours?
No. Okay. I have one horse and one donkey that are right away down there, by Molly and Oscar. It's the lady Christiana.
She's German. Yeah.
The German lady. Yeah. And she pays me a monthly fee for allowing her to keep the horses in livery here, and it's fine.
Good arrangement.
You know, to the farm. Some weeks she's really busy, some weeks, this week she's been a bit quiet. Yeah. But I think there are three or four little kids down there. And then she brings them up here, they have a lunch, and then they go back down for another hour. I don't know how she does it. The patience.
That's what she likes.
I would be bloody demented. Particularly last week when there were the disabled children, because you really got to keep an eye on the balance, particularly on a horse. You know.
More, yeah.
But at the end of the week, she was throwing them balls to catch and sell it. What?
Everything is possible.
Yeah.
So what do you plan to do?
Exactly.
To finish university next year.
You're doing an agricultural degree.
Yeah, agricultural science. And like I'm trying to major in environmental science and livestock.
Yeah.
So I'm really into cows.
Right. Well, next week, I had cows here, but I got rid of them. But I just could not say no. This guy who's just started a small dairy here on the island.
Is it in San Rafael? San Rafael area? Because someone told me they can get beautiful burrata and mozzarella fresh. I'm like, I didn't know we had cows. I thought, you know.
Yeah, because Matutis, who I did a lot of work with, he's got rid of everything now. So there's nothing over the Granja near Santa Gertrudis.
Yeah.
So this guy, who I'm not quite sure who he is, got in contact with me.
Isn't he Italian?
And offered me that little pool.
Oh, gorgeous.
Because he doesn't want it to end up as veal. And I said, look, I will happily take him. I would prefer to have two, but I will have to castrate him because I'm not having uncastrated bulls here because I've nearly been killed by bulls in the past.
Nuts.
They're very unpredictable. They're very unsafe.
Yes.
And he went, no. He said, I'll even pay for the castration. And I went, well, if you're happy with that. So he and his wife were coming over on Sunday to check the place out. He might take one look and go, bugger off. I don't know.
But the main problem with having cows on the island, why don't we have cows on the island?
The main problem was the diet.
Yeah, the food.
You never get that northern European. Spain is Galicia, where you'll get the good cattle, because they're on pasture through the winter into the spring. You know what I mean? There's grass.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you're reliant 11 months of the year on second-rate straw, hay, haylage, call it what you want.
Mm.
It's never good enough. It's just one of the reasons that Bel Matutis has given up. He's finally realized
it's
impossible.
It. Yeah.
You cannot compete with Romanian farmers or Central European farmers, German farmers, Irish farmers. Mm. You just can't compete with the quality of meat. So I got rid of them all, and I got rid of them all over a period of time. I hate to say it, but halal for the Muslim community. But I accompanied each cow to the abattoir, and it was all, it is pretty gruesome, there's no question about it. But the guy that did it, a Muslim guy obviously, was so good, so accurate, and the prayer and blah, and that's how, because they rely mostly on stews for their food, and of course that was perfect for slow cooking stew. So I finally got rid of them all. But this little chap and a companion, I wouldn't, I'd just keep them for the kids. I would put them in a halter right away and make them walk, and then use them for the children. But I have to pass the test.
Yes.
I might not pass.
Actually, like even on farms, they're way more open-minded right now.
Yeah.
And they love to take in people who are not actually have a strong farming background because they still have a different view and a different opinion.
Agriculture is certainly, from my little chair here, when you read the reports, is certainly changing because of many factors, not least climate change. There's a lot of change going on. This island will never change because it's just, I'm one of the youngest farmers, age 63. Can you imagine? I mean, that's how bad it is. I'm seen as like a new kid on the block.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And you think, well, when this generation, 63 upwards, finally lay down their hoe, there's no one really to backfill. There's one or two coming through. Because I always say, If anything, number one, farming is sexy. It's a great chattel line. You know, you go to a party and someone says to you, what are you doing? You go, I'm a pig farmer. And they go, get out of here. Ibiza? You go, yeah, I'm a pig farmer. They go, what drug are you on? And the other thing is the land is good. You can grow virtually any vegetable you want on this island. We've gone through a very dry period. The water is 50%, just over 50%, the tables underneath, which is bad, but always bad at this time of year, but this year particularly bad because we didn't get the rain through the spring. But what you're finding now is the boy will drive the taxi and work on his grandfather's land when he's not driving the taxi. And you're getting a lot of that. You don't have to be a full-time farmer. You can be a part-time farmer. Because once you plant something, you have to stand there and look at it all day. You know, it needs a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are doing that now, which is very encouraging. And there's the agriculture college just down here. Every year they get 6-7 students.
They have 12 for this coming year, which is nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Students.
I remember when it started, they sent a couple up here on like a secondment. But it's encouraging, but farming here, really, in terms of the backdrop of tourism, takes a very, very back of the line. There's quite a few foreigners, like Christian, like this guy Bobby, who are very wealthy individuals who have come in to do things, to buy big plots of land, to plant trees, to keep animals, and that's encouraging. But it sort of unbalances the locals. In a weird, not malicious way, but in a certain way.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. So I guess you've got.
Yeah, I got everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
Starkes Interview. Also man hört, die Stimme hat schon so seinen eigenen Charakter. Also die so eine richtige Erzählerstimme. Okay. Ne?
Man hört auf jeden Fall, dass das schon so ist, wie du das jetzt im Vorfeld gesagt hast. Also man stellt sich den ziemlich interessant vor, den Ronny auf jeden Fall. Das hört man schon bei ihm in seiner Aussprache und was er erzählt und wie er es erzählt raus. Also muss mit Sicherheit spannend sein, sich mit dem zu unterhalten.
Ja. Ja, auf jeden Fall. Also es war ja eher ein Monolog als ein Interview. Aber ich hätte da, glaube ich, auch noch 3 Stunden sitzen können und mir die restlichen Geschichten wahrscheinlich noch detaillierter erzählen lassen können. Weil das, ich finde, das ist halt auch einfach so eine fantastische Geschichte. Und man merkt halt richtig, dass da wirklich was hintersteht und er da auch wohl wahrscheinlich total drin aufgeht. Und das war einfach richtig, richtig cool. Also ich war echt mega dankbar auch, dass ich den treffen durfte. Und er hat auch gesagt, ich kann jederzeit wiederkommen, gar kein Problem. Und der hat halt einfach diese locker, flockige irische Art.
Also man merkt auf jeden Fall auch, dass er schon ganz schön viel erlebt hat.
Ja, definitiv. Viel kann man dazu eigentlich auch nicht mehr sagen, meinerseits aus. Also ich fand es super interessant, auch die Kultur. Gerade dieses Traditionelle mit der Mantanza, was ja diese traditionelle Schlachtung der Schweine ist und auch was dahinter steckt, dass halt Ibiza in vielen Dingen auch ein bisschen korrupt ist. Er meinte ja, die Farm, da stellst du 3 Olivenbäume rein, sagst, es ist eine Farm, aber eigentlich ist es ein Hotel. Also es ist schon ein hartes Stück Brot, sage ich jetzt mal, und man kann es jetzt absolut nicht mit Deutschland vergleichen, außer vielleicht, dass es ähnliche Probleme sind irgendwo in der Grundsubstanz. Aber es ist schon ein ganz anderer Stiefel, auch von der Art und Weise, wie die Leute da arbeiten, wie die Leute da leben. Das ist halt einmal so 3 Gänge runtergeschaltet und ja, wenn ich heute nicht komme, komme ich vielleicht morgen Nachmittag.
Das hatten wir in der letzten Folge schon ein bisschen das Thema, dass die da alle
ja, genau.
entspannter sind.
Der rote Faden des Insellebens.
Haben wir da noch was?
Also ich jetzt nicht. Also okay. Ich weiß nicht, ob ihr noch jetzt direkt Fragen dazu habt. Also für mich war so Pro und Contra noch so ein bisschen zu dem ganzen Thema. Also Pro, ich bin immer pro Arterhaltung. Ich finde das total klasse. Ich war auch überrascht, jetzt wo ich ja auf der Messe war, dass auch das Interesse an, ich sag mal, jetzt nicht Schweinen, aber älteren Rassen, auch gerade bei den Rindern, langsam wiederkommt. Man muss sich halt nur immer fragen, okay, hat das Zukunft oder ist das doch mehr Hobby? Weil gerade jetzt auch bei dem Ronny, man sieht ja, das sind halt wirklich Rassen, die viel ja, Investitionen nötig haben, sei es jetzt wegen der Diät und dem jeweiligen Futter und auch der Haltung. Aber nichtsdestotrotz, ich finde das wirklich eine super Sache, wenn man da halt hintersteht und auch investiert von sich aus.
Ja, bräuchte es mehr solche Leute einfach, ne?
Ja, also schon zumindest ein paar. Und es muss ja nicht mal sein, dass sie sagen, ja, wir wollen jetzt hier einen neuen Markt eröffnen, sondern einfach nur, dass halt auch, sag ich mal, Landwirtschaftsinteressierte halt, dass es einfach wie so eine Anlaufstelle für den ist, wo die halt sehen können, so, oh, die Rassen gibt's auch noch, die sind ganz alt und ja, so eine Art Heranführung dann für die auch.
Mhm. Ja, da hast du schon recht, aber die gibt es ja bei uns auch, diese Personen, muss man schon sagen.
Ja, klar, schon auf jeden
immer,
Fall.
Immer wieder diese Verfechter und die das eben auch, wie du schon gesagt hast, so eigentlich aus Leib und Seele mehr oder weniger machen oder halt für sich machen, weil es denen halt einfach wichtiger ist und da steht einfach nicht unbedingt nur der Profit an dem Vordergrund.
Ja. Ja, genau.
Ja, wenn bei dir noch Fragen aufgekommen sind, beziehungsweise du noch Ergänzungen hast zu der Folge oder natürlich zu Farmcast allgemein oder zu anderen Folgen oder Terminvorschläge, dann schreib uns einfach eine Mail und da kannst du uns entweder einen Audiokommentar schicken, was natürlich für uns super ist, weil wir es super in der Folge verwenden können, oder schreib uns einfach einen Text an die info@farmcast.de. Könnt ihr einfach mit dem Handy aufnehmen und uns per Mail schicken. Heutzutage geht das alles relativ einfach, kann ja auch fast jedes Handy. Ja, ansonsten könnt ihr uns erreichen.
Ja, unter www.farmcast.de. Wie der Peter schon gesagt hat, gerne Meinungen, Kommentare oder Anregungen auf info@farmcast.de schreiben. Auf Facebook sind wir unter Farmcast-der Landwirtschaftspodcast zu finden. Auf Instagram unter Farmcast-podcast und auf Twitter Farmcast-podcast zusammengeschrieben.
Ja, und wenn euch die Folge gefallen hat, dann bewerte uns einfach da, wo du uns hörst. Und schau am besten in die Shownotes heute mal rein. Da sind die ganzen Links zu der Farm auch nochmal in Textform. Beziehungsweise, ja, einfach kann man sich nochmal ein bisschen einlesen. Ja.
Ja, und wir... Right.
Ja, so gut.
Super. Ja, und wir bedanken uns herzlich fürs Zuhören und wünschen euch zwei schöne Wochen bis zur nächsten Folge.
Das war der Farmcast.
Mit Peter,
Jessica
und Thorsten.